up next on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
So Jesus, everywhere he went, he was out to do what? Destroy the works of the devil. It didn't matter what you had, because no power is more powerful than God's power. And faith connects you with the ability of God.
Hello, Bill Winston here, and welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, reason, human reason, is interesting because it will try to take you away from the miracles of God. See, people trying to figure out how God's going to do this, you know, before he does it. I can honestly say he has never come down the street I was looking for him to come down. I have never seen him yet do it the way I thought it should be done. So I'm just saying our job, only believe. Praise God. Let's go into it. We're talking on the subject of faith for healing. Let's go into it.
It's amazing how miracles attract people. You know why? Because there's a remnant inside of people who know we came from the supernatural.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It's a remnant in there. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, and he was begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, what? Says to him. Man, faith stops Jesus. And it'll draw him right over to your seat. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and said to him, be of good comfort. Arise, he's calling for you. Check it out. And he casting away his garment. And he rose and came to Jesus. See, the beggars had a garment. They put them on. It says their badge of poverty. And they wore it like a badge. And look what happened. It says, and Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? I want you to catch one word in here. And the blind man said to him, Lord, that I might... Say it again.
Receive.
Say it again.
Receive.
Say it again.
Receive.
My sight. You don't need to beg for this. Just receive. Just receive. Think about it. As many as received him, John chapter 1:12, to them gave he power.
Amen.
To become sons of God. As many as received him. As many as received him. Now understand, they were rank sinners. Hadn't done anything right according to God. But if you just receive him, your whole status is changed.
Amen.
Just receive him. You don't need to struggle for healing. Same thing in healing. Now, let me show you that, because it shows that over in Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 2 and starting at verse 1. And he entered into a Capernaum, and after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, say he saw their faith. Do you know you can see faith? And he saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Watch this. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. See what reasoning does? It takes you away from miracles. Don't try to reason this. If you came tonight sick, you're going to be healed. Don't be trying to read and say, well, what if I don't get? Why are you going to ask that question? Why are you going to ask that? What good is that going to do you? No. Why don't you take the man of God's word for it? Tonight I'm going to be healed. Put something right there. It says over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20:20. This is what he says. Now, this, you got to understand the word of God. Look what he says here. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, and believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. You got to believe his prophets. I said you have to believe his prophets. Tonight, I'm your prophet. I said tonight, you shall be healed. Now, see, why would I say it? Why would I have the audacity to say that? See, because God is in the healing business. He's not trying to hold something against you. Well, the Lord's trying to teach me something. No, the devil's trying to kill you. And you need to wake up to the fact that God is your healer. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And then Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, what doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, I want you to see that right there. Is it easier to get saved than to get healed? What do you think? No, same faith. God has not only written in his book that you have been saved. He has written that you have been healed. Now, all you need to do is participate. You got to receive it. As many as received him, manifested it. And same thing about healing. Folks, just like you came up to this altar or wherever you went and got saved, that's the same faith it takes you to get healed. Well, how do you know that? Well, look what it says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet that it esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They thought God did it to him. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. We're talking about it's going to take the same faith to get healed now as it is to get saved. He said this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that's your sins, am I right? Yes. And you being dead to sins, live unto righteousness, and by his stripes, come on, you are healed. That's your healing right there. Notice both of them running together. Look at Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all your iniquities and everything in the same sentence right there. Say amen to that. I want to show you the scriptures. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, that doesn't mean that you just sin or, you know, miss God and so forth. It means a person who practices sin, okay, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might
destroy.
He might destroy the works of the devil. Put that same scripture up there in the Amplified Translation. Let's get another degree of meaning, because I'm going to read this right here. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doings, is of the devil. Takes his character from the evil one, for the devil had sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was manifested, or manifest, visible, was to undo, destroy, come on, loosen, come on, and dissolve the works the devil has done. So Jesus, everywhere he went, he was out to do what? Destroy the works of the devil. It didn't matter what you had, because no power is more powerful than God's power. And faith connects you with the ability of God. So no power could stop this. No, nothing that the devil did to somebody. Jesus even healed the maimed. Matthew chapter 15. He healed the maimed. The maimed were made whole. The person didn't have an arm. A person was born with no legs and no arm, but they grew out when Jesus came. Why? Because arms and legs were in heaven. And he got arms and legs transferred from heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, the works that I do, you can do too. All right, now look at this. Verse 1. And they came over into chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea of the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, and had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you that you, by God, that you torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? He answered and said, my name is Legion. For we are many. A legion means somewhere between 2,000 and 6,000. So 2,000 and 6,000 demons were in a man. And you can imagine, if he can hold that much evil, how much good can you hold? Look what he said in verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send him out of the country. Now there was certain nigh into the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. That's why I don't eat pork. And then, no, I just kidding. The Bible says you can eat what you want to eat. It's blessed. Just so you're blessed and sanctified. Look at verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devils and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his, and in his, and in his, and they were afraid. Now, what did Jesus come to destroy? So for this man to be out of his mind was a work of the devil. And Jesus put him back into his righteous mind. Am I right about it? And I'm telling you right now that people have accepted things and accepted a kind of lifestyle that is not God's lifestyle for them, and it's perverted, and God is saying, you have looked at that and seen it and thought nothing can be done, but I can put that person back into their right. Come on now, come on. Don't you dare back up on me now. I'm saying if they got perverted thoughts, if they're attracted to perverted things and so forth, I, by the power of the Holy Ghost, declare that your mind is a righteous mind. Every demon will have to come out. Every demon, I said, will have to. Every perverted thought, I cut it off at the root, and I command every perverted, every unclean spirit, you come out in Jesus' name. Don't think for one minute that person can't be helped. Can't be helped if you don't believe they can be helped. God said, I can do all things. Praise God. All you got to do, there's nothing too hard for God. So you can pray for your friend, for your cousin, for a family member that's got perverted ways. Pray for them. Praise God. Watch this. And you don't need to come to the house, Jesus. Say amen. Amen. No, we've accepted a lot of things. See, the problem with the world is the church. The church, we haven't been taught some of this stuff. God has blessed you. And that blessing empowers you to operate on the level of your Father.
Yes, sir.
God flows right through you. Isn't that wonderful? So as I look in the Bible is a miracle book. And all through it are miracles. And the storm that stopped. And I'm not talking about when Jesus spoke to it, it just slowly passed. It stopped right there. Say amen.
Amen.
When the disciples were and Paul was in jail, look how the jail shook. And every jail door was open. How about when Lazarus was dead, stinking, in John chapter 11? And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And when Jesus said, roll away the stone, they backed up then. They said, oh, Lord, I don't know what's gotten to him in now. How about taxes paid supernaturally? Somebody needs that right now tonight. I said, somebody needs that right now. How about feeding of 5,000? Day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, and they all spoke in languages they had never gone to school to learn. Come on, y'all. Oh, I can go on and on and on. So the problem has been that a lot of times God's people haven't been taught these things. And because we haven't been taught these things, you haven't seen them operating in the church. But I declare from this night, there's going to be a new level of miracles. Watch this. Taking place all over the earth. Glory to God in heaven. Turn now to Exodus chapter 17, look at verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, now go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smitest the river. Now take it in your hand and go, and behold, I'll stand before you. And there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of that, out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Water 3 million people out of a single rock. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, that rock was Christ. He's got enough to service everybody. Now turn to Numbers chapter 20. And over in Numbers chapter 20, this time God is doing it a little differently. And I'll start reading at verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Now take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, and thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and the beast their drink, their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he was had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels. Now you can see what's affected here. Moses' attitude. Am I right about this? And the Bible said, don't ever hang around with an angry man because you'll become angry yourself. He said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 that evil communication corrupts good manners. You need to look it up in the Amplified. You'll see. And hanging around with people who got certain mannerisms, they'll start trying to seep in on your life. He said this, Now hear, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock. Oh, Lord Jesus. God didn't tell him to smite the rock. Why? He was moving him up to another level of miracles. Glory to God. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. Notice, God didn't hold the water back, but he held Moses back. And I'm determined that I am not going to be held back because somebody don't believe. Glory to God. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, said, Because you have believed me not, Lord have mercy, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. See, there's a time that you can operate on a certain level, but then there's another time God is looking for you to grow, looking for you to just believe. There's an enormous supply of everything that we'll ever need right in heaven, right now. God has prepared it. Now, how do we get it down to our lives? By faith. By faith. How do you release faith? By speaking it.